the solution of Muktamach Masmius. What does Muktamach Masmius mean? I have a kli, let's say I have a paper cup, and it's perfectly useful. The only thing is that somebody drank in it already. So if you want to, you can rinse it out and use it again. You can use it many times, a plastic cup or a paper cup. But in America, the minig amokim is that we don't do that. So Bizman HaTanoim used to have very cheap, very inexpensive and very cheap, both kelim that they used to hold oil in, and these were kli cheres, and once they would light either benchlicht on the table or wherever, light a wick in this oil, the whole thing would be so ungeschmiert with soot, it would be so dirty, it wouldn't pay to wash it out. There would be such a tircha to clean it, it wouldn't pay to wash it out and reuse it. So the minigin by people who could afford it was that they would throw it out and they wouldn't use it again. But theoretically, if you wanted to, you could really wash it out and reuse it. So it is a kli, but there is an umdin in the muchach that the bailim doesn't plan to use this kli because it's so ma'us. That's called muktzah machmasin. So that's a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, whether that has the status of muktzah. Similarly, there is a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon if you have chitim la'oitzar or tamri le'isko. That's in the first parak on your dynamic base. What's chitim la'oitzar? The person has food. He has, we gave the mashal, he has the Pesach Digger dishes that are stored away, and he doesn't plan, if you would ask the Balabas, do you plan to use these Pesach Digger dishes in the middle of the year on Shabbos Yom, he would say, of course not. Pesach Digger dishes, what, you should make a chametzik and then spend money to buy again new Pesach Digger dishes. So they're perfectly good dishes, Baharai, that it becomes Pesach, he's got to use it, but it's an umdur in the muchach that the Bailam don't plan to use it today on this Shabbos or this yantav is any yantav other than Pesach. Or if you have, let's say, chitim loitzer, he has food stored away, which is delicious, tasty food, but it's an umdur in the muchach that he doesn't plan to use that food today. Let's say he has his grocery shop is adjacent to his apartment, and he has a grocery shop full of food. But let's say it's clear, if you would ask him on Erev Shabbos, do you plan to take any food from the grocery shop? He says absolutely not. His house is stocked up with food, and he's not going to use anything from the grocery shop. We gave the mashal, you have the ice cream in their freezer for the birthday party that's going to take place in the middle of the week, and he's not going to eat the ice cream on Shabbos. So Numdar in the Bukhari is not going to eat that. That's designated for some other time. Or if you have the Shmurah Matzahs that you bought a month before Pesach and they're sitting around the house, so the few Shabbosim that you have them around the house before Pesach comes, if he asks the Balabas, do you plan to eat the Shmurah Matzah now? He says, of course not. It's such expensive stuff. Why should I eat it now? You have to be crazy. He's going to save it for Pesach. After Pesach, Zobi has leftovers, so he's going to eat it. Okay. But he's not going to save it until next Pesach. But the Shmur Matzah that he has before Pesach, it's an umdur in the Mukhet that he doesn't plan to use it. So that's the original machlekes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. Whether there's Muktzah Be'ochlim or Muktzah Be'kelim or not. So Reb Shimon says that there's no problem, and Reb Yudah says there is a problem. What exactly are they fighting about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained based on the expression, based on the lashon that appears in the Shiltas formulates the suffix in the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza talks about the following shiloh. There is a din, even Reb Shimon agrees that there is muktzah by grogus with tzimukim. Whether Reb Shimon be grogus, it's a muktzah, Reb Shimon ele grogus with tzimukim. We didn't get to that yet. That's on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, 15 lines from the bottom. What's the case of grogus with tzimukim? The grogus with tzimukim means that they used to put fresh fruits on the rooftop so that the sun should beat down on it and it should dry out, and they'll have dried whatever it is. Instead of eating, you can eat, people enjoy fresh grapes and other people enjoy raisins. Some people enjoy fresh figs and other people enjoy dried out figs or whatever. And then it takes a long time when the sun is beating down on the fruit, so there's an in-between stage when it's called Grogus Tzimukim, that there is a large group of people who would not enjoy eating the food like that. They would enjoy eating the food fresh, they would enjoy eating the fruits dried out, and the in-between stage, they would, it's Achzi V'loy Achzi, it's Roy Slash Enero, Iki Idi Shid Achli, Iki Idi Shid Deloy Achli. Some people would eat it, some people would say, tastes awful. They're not interested in eating it then. So in that in-between stage, that's a borderline oichel. So that depends, that l'chala deit depends on the Balaam. If the Balaam considers that oichel, then it's considered oichel. If the Balaam does not consider it oichel, as far as he is concerned, it tastes awful, then it's going to be muktzah. So the same is true regarding if you have a borderline kli. So the Gemara has later on, there are matlonius. Let's say a person had a suit and a pair of pants, whatever, some clothing, and it got torn. So it has a little hole over here, a little hole over here, so the guy's still going to wear the clothes. What if it has so many holes on it that it's questionable, a little bit got torn off from the clothing? Ashmata, is he going to wear that or not? So the Gemara says it depends. If it's based on Ashirim, you see, by the wealthy people in the stomach, they have a suit, they'll wear it two times, so they'll get rid of it already. But they're not going to throw it in the garbage, they'll give it to their less wealthy relatives or something. They're not going to throw it out in the garbage. But there's a certain type of a shmata that the wealthy people will simply throw it out in the garbage. As far as they're concerned, that's not royal lelisha. That's mamash, a piece of junk. A shmata is a piece of junk. By the poor people, if it's the base of Shalvai, Matloni Shem Behem Gimel Al Gimel, the Gemara says it later in the Masechta, in the end of the Masechta, if it's the base of Shalvaniim, then it's considered a beggar. If it's the base of Shalashirim, then it's not considered a beggar. So in other words, sometimes you have borderline Keli, a borderline Oichel. We're not so sure that it's considered a Kli. We're not so sure it's considered an Oichel. So there, even Rav Shimon agrees that it depends on the Das HaBailim. So there is, even Rav Shimon would agree that would be muktzah, even though there are other people who do consider it oichel, do consider it a kli, but since the Balaam don't consider it oichel, don't consider it a kli, so then l'chala deis it's muktzah. So the Gemara in Beitzah has a suffix. What if in the beginning of Shabbos the grogis v'tzimukim were in the intermediate stage, in the in-between stage, and the Balaam doesn't consider it roi l'achila? So then the rule is, after the Rav Shimon, that would be considered muktzah, and we would declare migud is katzoy le ben hashmash, is katzoy le kuliyam. That question whether Rav Shimon would say migud is katzoy, because the Rav Shimon usually doesn't hold for migud is katzoy. So that's a question. Maybe Rav Shimon agrees that there is a din of migud is katzoy by Eitzim Alvan of the offer. Maybe he only disagrees on migud is katzoy. In other cases, if you have here, you have a kli. You have a kli, but the kli is buses in the davar ha'asur. So in the middle of Shabbos, the flame goes out. No longer buses. The sibus ha'aktor goes away. So then Rav Shimon says, Moshe Shemesh Abiner, if you lit the candle, so the flame that's burning is considered muktzah. So the cup that's holding everything has the status of a buses in the davar ha'asur. So the kolzman, the flame is burning. It's a buses. After the flame goes out, that depends on the shiloh whether he's saying migdus katzoy. So somehow the Gemara says that's also dependent on the machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. So that could well be that the Reb Shimon doesn't believe in migdus katzoy in that case, because the thing is basically a kli. The thing is basically a kli, but it has the status of muktzah. And same thing, the shemen shebiner is oichel. You could really use that shemen to pour it on your vegetable salad to make it a little more flavorful, but the shemen is buses davrosis to the shalhevis. And once the shalhevis goes out, so then Rav Shimon says on the oichel and on the kli, he doesn't believe in migdus katzoy. But it could be that even Rav Shimon would agree that if you have, let's say, eitzim, and a nochri comes and he takes the eitzim and he makes a chair out of it, in the middle of Shabbos it becomes the kli. In the beginning of Shabbos it was not a kli. He takes sand, offer. He takes sand and he makes it into a glass. He makes it into a kli cheris or something. So it could be that even Rav Shimon would agree that there is a demigod of migdus katzoy over this. So that's the question. Rabbi Kiveger on the Mishnayos, on this Mishnah, on Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph, Rabbi Kiveger raises that issue. Maybe Rav Shimon would agree. He quotes a Ran and Beta, says Rav Shimon would say over there also, there's no, Rav Shimon never believes in migdus katzoy. And we'll have to discuss it. Maybe it's not 100% muskim l'chol ha'deis. Maybe not everybody agrees with that rock. So again, so the Gemara in the end of Beta has such a discussion. If you have grogus u'tzimukim and the Baal ha'peiris considers it lo yachazi, as far as he's concerned, it's not roi l'achila. He would never eat that yuchi stuff in the intermediate stage. He doesn't consider it roi l'achila. So then, even if in the middle of Shabbos the sun beats down, when Shabbos enters, the sun is not shining. it's starting to get dark. But Shabbos morning, the sun starts beating down. So by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now it is Roi L'Achilo. So then we will pasken bigger diskatzoy. Even though we pasken like Reb Shimon and most of the Hilchos Muktzah, but we pasken bigger diskatzoy like Reb Yudah. Okay, the Gemara says we make a compromise in the Psar. So the Gemara has a shaila: what if the Bailam left some Gregus Utsimukim on the rooftop, and he doesn't go to look every couple of hours? He doesn't know what's doing. And he thought in the beginning of Shabbos, the beginning of Yom Tov, that it's not Roi L'Achilo. He thought that it's still in this awful stage that he can't stand eating it. As far as he's concerned, is Mamish Muktzah. Then he wakes up at the crack of dawn tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning, at the 4:30 in the morning, before sunrise, Alois HaShachar, the sun didn't start to beat down at all. And he sees that it's fully edible, that it's all perfectly dried out, and it's perfect raisins. Obviously, this has already been completed from before Shabbos. If it wasn't completed before Shabbos, it didn't happen at night time. The sun isn't shining at night. So what's the din in such a case? Would you give it the status of muktzah or not? It's grogus of timukim that's fully dried out, yopshu, but eina b'alam akirim behem, the b'alam wasn't aware of it. So the Gemara says that's okay, that would not be considered muktzah. So even though he wasn't aware. So the Shehiltas presents the suffix as follows. The Shiltas always does like that. He takes all the Gemaras. The Gemara has a din. So the Shiltas presents everything as a question and an answer. Just instead of just quoting the din, he poses, what's the question? And the question is, are there any mitzvahs that you have to perform on Chanukah? The answer is yes, you have to bench Chanukah lift, and you have to say Al Anitim. Are there any mitzvahs you have to perform on Purim? Yes, you have to read the Megillah, and you have to give Shalach Manas. And Matan always takes every din from the Tanakh. Also in the Gemara, and he poses a shayla. So sometimes he'll pose the two story hasafim. Otherwise, he means you have to perform a chanukah. There's nothing to clear. Okay, so he says yes, you have to light. But over here, he tells you what are the two story hasafim in the Gemara, chakira. So he says, the grogus and simukim sheyovshuv ein abalim akir behem. The balim didn't know what's the din of muktzah. Does it depend on the and the kavanos habaylim, or does it depend on the oichlim bifnei atzma? The oichlim bifnei atzma are perfectly edible. It's roi l'achila. It was already yopshu before Shabbos entered. So if you judge mukta on its own merits, then there's no reason in the world that it should be considered mukta. But if I should say that the status of mukta depends on the das habaylim, so then the habaylim weren't aware. The habaylim was not aware that this was already yopshu. So then perhaps it should be mukta. So he says, Toshma, that the Gemara says that it's not a problem, that it's not Mukta. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the way the Shiltas worded it, those two Tzadei HaSofik, that's exactly the Nekudas HaMachloikis between Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. That in the Mukta Machmas Miyuf, you have the paper cup, or the plastic cup that was once used, and it's standing there on the table, on the counter, whatever. If he already threw it in the garbage before Shabbos, then he demonstrated that the thing is mamish, a piece of junk. The Gemara has later a lashon. Elamiyata, you're going to tell me zara glima la ashka, if a person takes a perfect suit and he throws it in the garbage, hachanami, that's going to be muktzah. So why not? If the guy throws it in the garbage and he wraps it up with all this in the middle of all the dirt, why not? Why shouldn't it become muktzah? So the rishonim say over there that's ridiculous. That's botla daideitz al das kol b'nei adam. It's a perfectly good beggar. It's a glima's in good shape, so why should you say that becomes mukta? But if you have something that we can understand, iki in shidachli, iki in shidaloyachli, you have food, you take out food from the refrigerator and it doesn't taste so good. So as far as some people are concerned, there's nothing wrong with it. What's so bad? So it's not so gewaldige geschmack. So, but it's not spoiled, and other people consider that if it's slightly off, it's already spoiled. They throw it out in the garbage right away. Or if you have something that's a little moldy on one side, so some people will cut off the moldy part and eat the rest, and other people say, what do you think? The whole thing is not really lachid. So if you have such a thing that's questionable, a borderline oichel, a borderline kli, so that the Gemara says, v'chol ha'deis, even Reb Shimon agrees, by grogus v'tzimukim, et ba matloni ha'shem behem gimel ha'gimel, that if it's the base of shalashim, then it's called mukta. If you have such a thing, and the oni threw it in the garbage. The oni threw it in the garbage. So he threw it in the garbage before Shabbos. So everybody agrees that that's muktzah. You can't say over there, butler daita is a das kol b'nei adam. So Nachum Moshe Rasoveitchik thought that this is the basic machlokes by muktzah machmas mius, or by muktzah By chitim loitzer, atami leisko, the Pesach, the gedishas, and the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party. In the middle of the week, there's an umdur in the muchach that the Bailam do not plan to use this on Shabbos. If you were to ask them, the tchilas ayoyim of Shabbos, they have Shabbos ben hashmashes, do you think you're going to even use this? The guy would say, absolutely not. But, so that's the machlekes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. So Reb Yudah says that you need das ha-bailam. Muktzah means the opposite of mucha. Muktzah and mucha are opposites. And mucha means that there's das ha-bailam to use it. You don't have to actually have das ha-bailam, the poel mamish that the bailam are thinking about. The guy is running home from the office, and he's taking a shower, he's getting dressed, he's running to shul, he has to make it by Shabbos, he's not thinking about anything. But it means that you would tap him on the shoulder and ask him, do you think you're going to use this? So he would say quickly, absolutely not. That is out of the question. He's not going to use that. We'll use that possibility. But whatever he says possibility, he may want to use it. That's considered as if there's an umdur in the mucha that you have achanas abaylam. Whatever he would say, absolutely not. So there's clearly no achanas abaylam. So Reb Yudah says that in order to be considered, you need hachana by ochlam and by kelim as well. And you need hachanas abaylam. And if there's clearly no achanas abaylam, then it's going to be muktzah. And according to Reb Shimon, we say that Eichel Mekelem on Muchanim Me'aleihem. Since the thing is an Eichel, the thing is a Kli, so it's Mucha Me'elo. Yes, so Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Gemara says that this Machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon by Eichel Mekelem, where there's Muktzah Eichel Mekelem, has another nachmina. What if you have oichel and a kli, which clearly is muktzah because it's basas davar ha'aser? Someone lit a candle, so the shemen and the kli hanach lenei shemen etzur hoven after basas davar ha'aser. So in that case, the kli, the container, and the shemen, the oichel, did become muktzah because of basas. Do you say migudis katzoy? They all agree it's muktzah. Do you say migudis katzoy? And more so, that depends on Rabbi Reb Shimon. Why does it depend on Rabbi Reb Shimon? If this is a definition, whether you need achanas abaylam or you say it's mucha me'elov, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that the pshat is like this, that if he says mucha me'elov, so even though bein hashmashes it's clearly muktzah, the kos karav hashoshes is muktzah because of buses, but you can say that bein hashmashes is mucha me'elov avur lachazman, because we know that there is going to be a lachazman, the flame is not going to burn forever. We look at the candle that's burning bein hashmashes and we know it's going to go out in the middle of the night. So therefore we say, according to Reb Shimon, it's mucha me'elov avur le'achazman. But if you all like Reb Yudah, that you don't say that oichel mekelem al mukhanim me'aleihem, you say that that you need achanas abaylim, so then the Ran has two versions how to say over here. The Ran and the Rif quotes the machlokes of Rishonim. According to Reb Yudah, that you say migudis katsoy. We pass like Reb Yudah over here, that you do say migudis katsoy. Migudis katsoy means that even if you're masna in advance, even if you say in advance that you plan to use the shemen and the nair, the container, after the flame goes out, it's still not going to help? Or do you say no? He wasn't thinking of it. There was no hachanas abaylam, but if he'll say the feirish on Erev Shabbos, I'm madlik the nair and I plan to use the most of shemen shib nair, I plan to use the kli after the flame goes out, then even Reb Yudah will agree that it won't be muktzah. So the Ran has a machlokes about this from Shulchan Aruch also a shaila. What if the balabas, the bench is lit and she says I plan to use the kli after the flame goes out? Is that enough to remove the din amigudis katsoy? Yeah. So this is the shaila. If you need hachanas habaylim, so should you say that since the kli was buses bein hashmashes al pidin, it's like he's not a bailim, like in order to be able to act like a bailim, something has to be shali or bishusi. If it's just shali, it's ain't a bishusi. Indeed, the moment is, then you have no right to be mafkir, you have no right to be magdish, and you can't be makne. So maybe that's over here something along those lines, that since bein hashmashes, the thing was muktzah, so we don't give him the status of bailam that he should have the right to make a tanai, but I plan to use it lachazman. So that's one opinion, that's the generally accepted opinion. The tanai doesn't help. If you all like Reb Yudah, that there is a din of migdash katsoy, the tanai wouldn't help. And the other version is, no, that even Reb Yudah agrees that in such a case, if you make a tanai in advance, it wouldn't be muktzah later on. It's just that we assume that the guy probably wasn't even thinking about it. He didn't have anything in mind. But if he would say the feirish, that he's making the moiso shemesh abinair and the kli after the flame goes out, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there is Achanas Abaylim, Aguli Achazman. But if you all like Rabbi Shimon, that you don't need Achanas, you never need Achanas Abaylim. You say that Rechon Mikelem Amuchanim Ealeim, so it's Mucham Eilav Aguli Achazman. This was his suggestion. The problem is, we're trying to solve a problem over here. The problem is that the Gemara has scattered about all over the Masechta, Machloikis and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, with the Yesh Muktzein Muktzein, they don't seem to connect. What has one got to do with the other? Gravis and Tzimukim, they all agree that that's like Eitzim Avon of Yehoshua, and Matlani, Hashem, Em, Gimel, Gimel, the Beis Shel Hashim, they all agree that that doesn't count. That was a borderline kli, so that depends on the Das Avalim. And then Achitim Loit, the Tam Liska, that's a Machloikis. And then on the Moshe Shemesh Ben Neir, on the Kli and on the Shemin, is a Machloikis of Yehuda Reb Shimon. But they say Migdus Katsoi, so what is the Migdus Katsoi? Why is that the Shitosim? Where they hold, where the Moshe Shemesh Ben Neir, Migdus Katsoi, that depends on the Tam Li, the Chitim Loit, so why? And that was the third case, and that's where Rav Soloveitchik explained how it all fits. And then the Gemara has a third case, later on Yontif, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Havara, you're not allowed to burn anything. Not only are you not allowed to strike a match, even if the furnace is burning, you're not allowed to throw in fuel. You're not allowed to throw in logs or paper or whatever. That's also Havara. But on Yom Tov, Havara is Mutar B'Torcha HaNefesh, or if the fellow is it's cold in the house, he's permitted to burn logs in order to keep his body warm. That's a Machlokes B'Shama B'Silu. We pass him like B'Silu. B'Shama say you're not allowed to burn logs in order to keep yourself warm. B'Silu say that you are allowed to. So there, we had the long Rashba had it in Beit, so the long Rashba Masechta Beit had the two explanations why the Bisilu permit you to burn logs in order to keep warm. Is that because that's called Echal Nefesh Mamish? Because all Hanoas HaGuf is included in Echal Nefesh. Maybe this is Bisilu L'Shitasim, that they say not only are you permitted to do Melach and Yontov the Tzarech Echal Nefesh, even the Tzarech Yom Tzas also Muti, you're allowed to carry a Lulav, you're allowed to carry a Sefer Torah in order to learn. So Shart Tzarechim. So that's the big machlekes and the Rishonim that the Rashba quotes. Machlekes the Rambam and other Rishonim. What's the head? We spoke about the nafkaminas. So the so let's say on Yom Tov that you're permitted to burn logs. So the Gemara says the logs are basically eitzim. The logs are basically muktzim. So you have to be mazman the logs mebol yom. So usually you have next to the furnace or in a special place you have a whole stack of logs. And it's obvious that these are miyuchad for hishtamshus every day in the furnace and for yontav as well. So it has a hazmana. What does the hazmana accomplish? So we learned the Ramban. The hazmana doesn't convert the logs into a kli. The logs remain logs. It doesn't have a tzuras hakli at all. It's a special hat that the Gemara says lo nitnu eitz mela lahatzoka. The logs remain muktzeh. But it has a head to tiltle for that specific purpose of throwing it into the furnace to serve as fuel, or if you have another purpose that's equally important or more important. But if you have another purpose, less, you want to be metal to the log, whatever, the guy wants to play checkers. He wants to move the log over here in order to elevate the board, something like that. That that's a less significant purpose. Other people are laughing. Why is playing checkers on Yom Tov? Putting a log in the furnace in order to keep warm, everybody agrees to that. But the checkers, that's not everybody holds in the checkers or the chess game. So that we have to figure out, is that a less important ishtamshus or a more important ishtamshus? So the less important ishtamshus, we say that the logs really remain mukta. The logs are really mukta. You're only permitted to be metalpulet for the purpose that he was mazmenet for. Or for an equally important purpose, a more important purpose, less important purpose, less. The Gemara has a whole discussion and debate of what's considered more important purpose, what's considered less important purpose. The guys, let's say, Mazmin offer, they plan to have a bris on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the minig is based on the Zohar that you Mazmin the Orlo will offer. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gaonim, but offer is muktzah. That's the original muktzah, eighth month of the offer. So the Gaonim say. If you mazmin the offer in order to put the orla in it, so then you're allowed to handle it. What do you mean? You mazmin the offer, so it becomes something other than offer. Then you're not yet to the minig of putting the orla into the offer. Mimono afa yankin. The Zohar says, I'm not possible in Parshas Bolo. No, so the offer remains offer, but you mazmin it, that despite the fact that it retains the status of muktzah, you're permitted to be metalkalit for that specific purpose. The Ramban explains by Riches and the Melchamis that sometimes if you mazmin something it becomes part of a kli. Let's say if you have a wooden bucket that you draw water from the well, so the wooden bucket is always going to float on top of the water. So how are you going to get the water to get into the wooden bucket? So they used to take a slab of stone and tie it onto the bottom of the bucket, and in order that it should be heavier than the water, and it'll sink below the surface of the water. So the Mishnah seems like it says that once you tied on the Evan into the Evan should be Kirviyah, he ties on the Evan onto the bucket, so it becomes blends in to become part of the bucket. So now it's a Klisha Malach Telehetta, it's no longer considered Eitz Mabon Liyot, it's no longer an Evan. But the offer that you magma for the Bris Milah, that remains in the status of offer. You're permitted to be metopolite for that purpose, to fulfill the meaning that's in the Zohar, to be magma the or Orlov offer. Or if you have another purpose, equally important, more important, let's say Mahdu Kisi Adam. And then the Gemara has a discussion. Let's say the baby has a dirty diaper and it's all over the floor. You want to cover over the dirt. That are more important, less important. All discussion in the Gemara based on what's considered more important, what's considered less important. One is a vadai, one is a suffix. Okay, whole discussion in the Gemara. How do you determine what's more important, what's less important? So the Gemara has later. Let's say the fire is burning on Yontif, and he wants to throw in logs in order to keep warm. So he's permitted to, despite the fact that the logs are not. So he was mazman when the logs in the body. What if he decides that this chair is a rickety chair? This chair is falling apart. The wife decides it's time to buy a new set of chairs. So what are you going to do with this chair? So he may as well use the chair. It's chilly. It's cold. Sukkot. Whatever. So it's chilly. So he takes the chair. He's going to throw it into the furnace. So a chair is not mukta. A chair is not. A chair is a klisha melachta lehetta. So he permitted to throw the chair into the fire that it should serve as fuel. In more quotes later, I'm Nechemia Hodi, you're not allowed to because Enkeli Mitzal Sotavan Mitzal. So, Poshev Shatar, Nechemia is the biggest machmer of all. In more says that you have Reb Shimon, Reb Yudah, and Reb Nechemia. So, Reb Nechemia, I'll be Pash, this is the biggest machmer. Where was this? And Kufkov Dalar on the day, so the Poshev Shatar, Reb Nechemia is the biggest machmer. You're not allowed to take a challah knife to cut open, let's say, someone brought home a package of cookies before Yontif, and it has a big, fat, heavy cord on it. And you have to cut the cord on Shabbos and Yontif in order to get to eat the cookies. You can't get it off like this. So you're permitted to use a sharp challah knife to cut the cord. So the Gemara says, Reb Nechemia would say that you're not allowed to. Because that's not the normal use of the challah knife to cut the cord with it. You usually use it to cut challah. It will be poiging it a little bit. It's going to become blunter if he's going to cut this heavy cord with it. So since that's an irregular use, same thing, you're going to take a chair and throw it into the furnace in order to serve as fuel. That's a very irregular use for a chair. A chair normally you sit on and it lasts for many years. You're going to take the chair, throw it into the furnace, it's going to get all consumed. There isn't going to be any chair anymore. So Reb Nechemia says that you're not allowed. We mentioned that there was a minority opinion among the Rishonim Hodor, Reb Nechemia is the biggest Mekel, not that he's the biggest Machma. Here he happens to be Machma. Reb Nechemia only meant to say a Mashua b'chumra, that you're not permitted to be metalta l'kli in such a way that your Hishtamshis is going to be poking the kli. You're going to throw the chair into the furnace, it's going to get all consumed, there's going to be no more chair. You're going to use the challah knife to cut this thick, heavy cord that the package has, very heavy rope. So that may be pugim the knife a little bit. So such in case Reb Nechemia holds you're not allowed to. But in all other cases of mukta, Reb Nechemia would be the biggest makel. That's how some Rishonim said. But the Pashup Shat in the Gemara was not Reb Nechemia is the biggest machma. So the Gemara says, leaving out Reb Nechemia, you would have a machlezer Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. What happens if originally before Shabbos I had a wooden chair? Yontif, not Shabbos, you can't throw away chairs into the furnace because of the Malach al Havar. Let's say before Yontif. Before Yontif I had a chair. Then in the middle of Yontif, the chair broke a little bit, and now it's no longer useful for adults because it's not tall enough, but it's useful for children as a chair. Little children will be able to sit on. So the Gemara says if it's Oisimei Malachtam Harishoina, Plisha Nishba Bemsa Yontif, and it's Oisimei Malachtam Harishoina, it started off Yontif as a chair, and now it still has the Ishtamshis of a chair. It started off as a table for adults, and now it's useful as a table for little children. So the legs broke a little bit, but you can still use it as the same Ishtamshus. So then the Gemara says, Bein l'Reb Shimon, Bein l'Reb Yudah, that's not going to be moved. But what happens if the chair smashed in the middle of Yontif, it no longer has Ishtamshus for anything? It broke into tiny little pieces, that are just pieces of wood. Then the Gemara says, everyone would agree that it's Mukta then. And you're not allowed to throw it into the furnace because of Mukta. What happens if the chair fell apart in the middle of Yontif? It's Oisim Ein Malacha, Bein Oisim Ein Malachtam HaRishonim. You can use it for something. The children can trace it. It used to be useful as a chair, and now it's useful as a little table. It's a totally different ishtamshes. It has a ishtamshes after it broke. It has a different ishtamshes. It's not the emalachtim harishonim. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Whether you hold for mukta, you don't hold for mukta. Why does that depend on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? What exactly did they say that this should depend on their machlekes? So that's what the Chazon Ish works very hard to try to make sense out of these gemaras. What's the connection between all the various cases? Soloveitchik thought that based on that lashon of the Shultis, he thought that this perhaps explains this gemara as well. That if you have kliye that's broken and converted to become kli b, it has a hishtamshus, but it doesn't have the same hishtamshus as it had in the beginning of Yontif, or the beginning of Shabbos. Same thing, Shabbos Yontif. So what's the shayla? That's called noilat she'eino gomor. If you have noilat gomor, something comes into existence in the middle of Yontif as a kli, or something comes into existence in the middle of Shabbos and Yontif as a oichel. And before Shabbos Yontif, the thing mamish wasn't in existence at all. Let's say the mon. The mon didn't exist before. It didn't exist anyway. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a miracle every day. The mon falls down. So that everyone would agree that the mon would be muktzah. So it's a magal that the mon didn't fall down on Shabbos and Yontif. If it would have fallen down on Shabbos, it would have been muktzah. They wouldn't be able to eat it. It says Veichinu Eitz Hashem Yaviu. The man had to fall down on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Veichinu Eitz Hashem Yaviu. Even though you're allowed to carry a Yontif with Tzarech Ochel Nefesh, but the man didn't fall down on Yontif. Not only in the Chumash, it doesn't say. The Chumash just says the man didn't fall down on Shabbos. But Tosfos points out on the first daf and base, that base on base, you see Beferish, the Gemara assumes the man neither fell down on Shabbos nor on Yontif. That's why we require Lechem Mishnah on Yontif like on Shabbos. We don't require Shalashudis. That's a stira. Why not? If the man didn't fall down on Yontif, then the Sama Lechem Mishnah came down on Erev Yontif, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ichlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom, Hashem Hayom, Lechem Tiksu, Basad, he said three times Hayom. How come you don't need Shalashudis on Yontif? It's Akasha. The Rambam holds, you do need Shalashudis, and we don't pass them like the Rambam. Shulchanach, we follow the Yerushalmi, and Maseches Masi Sheni, that seems to say explicitly that there's no Shalashudis on Yontif. That's what the Be'er Agra points out. So that's a kasha. Why don't we have Shalashudis on Yontif if we assume the man didn't come down? But why didn't the man come down if you're allowed to carry? If you hold like Rashi, that in the beginning of Beitzah, that based on Beitzah, the din of Mukta, according to Rabbi, Achana the Rabbi is the din deraisa, then we understand the man is mamish noilat goma. The whole thing came into existence in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yontif. So noilat goma is Mukta l'chaladeh. Tesis in the first parak in Beita has a chachas from the Gemara, from a few Gemaras, from the Gemara in Beita, and from the Gemara in Erevin. But whenever you have a noilat gomur, that would be mukta l'chaladeis. They quote a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara talks about the rain or snow that fell down in the middle of Shabbos and Yontif. So the din is that it's not mukta. So the Gemara asks Akasha. The Gemara says, if you should assume the Maya Beiva, Mivlabli, that the water when it's in the clouds is considered as if it's in a state of gas, and Balua, and it's considered a Param Kadosh's Bolakan when it rains, and that's why there's no issue of Tumen. When the clouds were floating, they go many, many miles, it goes hundreds of miles, and then the water, then it starts to rain, and the water falls down over here. Why don't you say that that's a problem, that the water came, you put the Tum? So the Gemara says at one point, Maya Beiva Mivlabli, that the water in the clouds, you can't say that it's kind of shvisa because it's considered kimishaina, it's considered in the state of gas. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? That's going to pose tremendous problems. If you're going to say Maya Beiva Mivlabli, if so, it should be Noilat Gomer, everyone should agree that the water that comes down in the rain on Shabbos or Yontif should be Mukta. So that we don't assume like that Svara, Maya Beiva Mivlabli, even though the water probably is in the state of gas. But as far as we're concerned, we don't treat it like that. We consider it as if it's in the state of water. It's not noilat gomor. So Tosfos quotes that Gemara. That the Gemara said at one point, if you would have accepted such a concept, maya beiva mivlabli, as if it's a davar she'eino, so then it should be muktzah when it comes down. That's noilat gomor, should be muktzah l'chaladeis. And Tosfos has another Gemara in the first perek in Beitza. The Gemara says if you had logs on Erev Yontif, and then on Leil, in the middle of Yontif, he used the logs and you cooked with them, and after you finished cooking, so the logs turned into ashes. So what can you use the ashes for? A totally different ishtamshes. You can use the ashes to do Kisei Adam, You can use the ashes to cover over some dirt in the chutzir. The ashes themselves are dirty, but the other dirt is dirtier than this dirt. So you may want to use the ashes. So the Gemara says that that's considered Narlat Goma. That if you burnt the logs on Yom Tov and they turn, if the logs are still burning hot, so just like there were logs on Erev Yom Tov and it was Mukhan for that, so the burning hot coals are still, the burning hot ashes are still useful if you put in a raw egg, so you can cook a raw egg. But after the ashes become totally cool, it no longer has the ishtamshes that it had as a log. It has a totally different ishtamshes. So the Gemara considers that absolutely Narlat Goma. It's a parim chadosh is baulakan. So Tesha says a Narlat Gomer, everybody agrees, all the Tanaim agrees, Mukta. So you have Narlat Shena Gomer, Kli A converted to become Kli B, so that's a machlaikus satanai. Marsava Mukhanhu, or Marsava Narlat Hu. The Gemara doesn't say, Akuf Chavdalan, the Gemara doesn't say, Marsava Narlat Mutter, Marsava Narlat Osa. The Gemara says they both agree Narlat is Osa. Marsava Mukhanhu, Marsava Narlat Hu. What do you mean Marsava Mukhanhu? If you would have had Narlat Gomer, everyone would agree that that's Narlat, and Narlat is Taka Mukta. But Marsava, Rav Shimon Shita, is that this is Mukhanhu. Why is it Mukhan? It's Taka Narlat. Just because Narlat Chain or Gomer, so what? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that perhaps what it means is the following. According to Rav Shimon, that all those from the Kelim are considered Mukhanim Me'aleihem. You don't need Kavanas Agavras, and maybe you can say that Kliye is Mucham Me'elov. We know that Kliye may convert to become Kliye. The Kliye is obviously a little bit wobbly. It doesn't fall apart all of a sudden. Yesh Me'ayin. The chair, every time you sit on the chair, is a little weaker, 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 and after many years, the wife decides to throw out the chair, or to use it as firewood in the furnace. So when the chair falls apart, it is no longer useful as a chair, now it's useful as a table, useful as something else, as a toy. So then the Gemara says, according to Reb Shimon, that was Mukhan Me'elav, Ben Hashmoshe, Savu Le'achazman, it's Mukhan Me'elav that it looks like it may convert into Kli B. So since looking from the perspective of Ben Hashmoshe, the thing is wobbly a little bit, if it wouldn't be wobbly, how did it fall apart all of a sudden in the middle of Shabbos Yom Tov? So since it's Oymed Lekach, and Reb Shimon holds that all Kelim and all Lechem are Mukhanim Yalem, so it's Mukhanim Yalem Avur Le'achazman. Avur Kliyei is Mukhanim Yalem to convert to become Kliyei. Now Shani came to Reb Yudah that he requires Achanas Abaylim, so there was no Achanas Abaylim. So he wasn't thinking about the fact that it may break in the middle of Yom Tov, in the middle of Shabbos, and convert to become a different Kliyei. That was the suggestion of Reb Shimon. Why these three Machlekes and should be Toli Zebizem? 100% Toli Zebizeh can't be, because we pass in Halachic Reb Shimon by Muktamach Mesmius, we pass in Mutter, we pass in over here, Noel Hashem Gomer is Mutter, and nonetheless we pass in Migadis Katsoy. The Gemara made that compromise. So you see that there is a Mokum Lechalik between one case and the other. Why did the Gemara think in the first place that the Tanoi now that it was Toli Zebizeh? So you have to say something along these lines. That's the machlag of your Reb Shimon. And if the chair breaks in the middle of the table, or the chair breaks in the middle of Shabbos, or Yom Tov, now it has a different ishtamshus. So that's Noilat Chain or Gomer. Noilat Gomer, Taisus proves in the Gemara, and that Taisus is accepted in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchot Shabbos and Hilchot Yom Tov. Noilat Gomer, we agree, is Mukta. Noilat Chain or Gomer is a machlag of your Reb Shimon. We pass like Reb Shimon, that it's not Mukta. The only shayla is maybe we should pass like Reb Yudah on Yom Tov. That's the Gemara in the first daf in Beitza. So the Gemara says that there is a Stam Mishnah. We assume Halachic is Stam Mishnah. That Rebbe edited the Mishnahs in such a way that whenever he wrote a Stam Mishnah, he was implying that we should pass them like that. So there is a Stam Mishnah Masechah Shabbos that says like Reb Shimon that there is no Dina Mukta, and there is a Stam Mishnah Beitza that says like Reb Yudah that there is a Dina Mukta. So the Gemara says, well, Rebbe is the one who edited all the Mishnahs. So why did he do such a thing? Isn't that a contradiction? The Gemara says no. On Yom Tov, because people have so many Haterim, Echel Nefesh, and Tzacha Yom Tzatzah, we're afraid that they'll get carried away with themselves. So that's why we feel that you have to make a little bit more restrictions to balance things off. So that's why the Mishnah seems to imply that Mukta is also on Yom Tov. Allah Hikrev Yud on Yom Tov. On Shani Kenan Shabbos, there's so many limitations. Everything is also. You have no Haterim at all. So then there's no need for the mechazik, the laws of Hilchos Shabbos. So on Shabbos we assume that Allah is like Reb Shim. So Lohakim. So this is a machlekes Rishon. What does that mean? So some, the Rif and the Rambam took the Gemara at face value. The Rebbe meant to paskan on Yontif like a Reb Yudah. On Reb Yudah, on Yontif we paskan like Reb Yudah, that Yesh Muktzah. And on Shabbos we paskan Ein Muktzah. The Raivan on the bottom of the Rif says he doesn't think that's what it means. He says that Reb Yudah Anas, he edited the Mishnah in such a way that Balabatim, you're not supposed to tell Balabatim any Hatera. Balabatim worked with the assumption everything is Mutter until it's proven Osir. If the rabbi didn't tell me it's also, so they assume it's mutter. So the rabbi understands that Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnahs in such a way as to mislead the Balabatim, so they won't understand. If a guy knows how to learn, so he's going to know Tamach like Zabira Reb Shimon, so he's going to know that we don't paskin like that Mishnah. He knows he's going to know from the Gemara that we don't paskin like that Mishnah that sounds like Halachic Rabbi Yudah, the Stam Mishnah Beit. So for the Balabatim, that's okay. So let them walk away with the mistaken notion that on Yom Tov there's a Din HaMuktzah. That's how the Ravid seems to understand. It's a little strange, that's how he learned. But the Ravid's opinion has not been accepted. We assume, no, the Rebbe edited the Mishnah in such a way to imply that that is the din for everybody. What is the din? So the Mechaber writes like the Rambam in the Rif that on Yom Tov we really pass like Rabbi Yudah. The Mukta Machmas Mius is Osir, and all the cases are Mukta. Chitim Loitz and Tam Eliyiska. And the Rosh and the Ramah Paskins like the Rosh, it quotes an opinion from the Balei HaTesis. No, that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara just says by Noila Chena Gomor, there we paskin like Reb Yudah on Yom Tov. You had Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Behema, or Kli A Shenishtan Elias Kli B. So that we would be Machmar on Yom Tov by Noila Chena Gomor. That namely, where do you have a case Noila Chena Gomor comes up all the time to eat the chicken? And then you left with chicken bone. So before you started eating the chicken, Mitzchilas Hayam, it was Michael Adam. After you finish eating the chicken, you leave nothing over. If you leave something over, it's still Royal Michael Adam. So then it's not Michael Adam, Shemeshanali, it's Michael anything. It's still Michael Adam, just you don't want to eat all of it. You don't want to put it back in the refrigerator, because the refrigerator is stuffed anyway. You're not going to be interested in eating it tomorrow, so you have no choice. So you throw it out in the garbage. So that's not Muktzah, it's still Michael Adam. But if you ate up all of his portion, there's nothing left. So the bones that are left are Michael Behemoth. So that's Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Ben. That's the original case of Muktzah. That's a Machlekes Bisham and Bishilal, and it's a Machlekes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. That's on the first daf in Beitza Beis Hamidal, the very first Gemara in Beitza Beis Hamidal. That the Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Ben. So according to Reb, that's Noila She'eno Gomor. It started off as Michael and it still is Michael, but Michael Ben is not Muktzah. Michael Adam is not Muktzah, but it's a different kind of Michael. Same thing, let's say, if you would have a milchis. In the middle of the day, somehow the milchis would convert to become fallacious. We don't have such a trick to do that. But if it would happen, milchis becomes fallacious in the middle of the day. Fallacious becomes milchis. So that would be Nurla Chena Goma, Michael Eish, and Ishtanali is Michael D. So that would be a machlekes of Yudah and Reb Shimon. So on Shabbos, we hold that there's not a problem of muktzah. So the bones that are left over, you're permitted to take the plate with the bones and push the bones off with a knife if you want to throw them into the garbage. But on Yom Tov, that's a shaila. So the Mechaber writes that we paskin muktzah on Yom Tov. So that's muktzah. And then according to the Ravid, we don't paskin muktzah on Yom Tov. No difference in Sakh. And the Ramos says, the Gemara says we paskin Noila Chena Gomer is Muktan Yantav, yeah, by the bones, but any other kind of Chitim Loitza Tamli Iska, that on Yantav we would say is also not Muktan. This kind of Muktan, Noila Chena Gomer, on Yantav or Machmar on that. But on all the other, the Muktan Machmas Mius, and the Muktzah because of Chitim Loitza Tamli Iska, that we wouldn't be Machmar on Yantav. Only this Noila Chena Gomer. So that's why Bein Lamechaber, Bein Laramah, the leftover bones on Yom Tov, even though it's Roy L'Achilos Akela, even though it's Roy L'Michael Behema, both the Mechaber and the Ramah would say that you're not allowed to scrape it off of the plate with a fork. What you have to do is tilt the plate a little bit. So that says in the Mishnah that that's okay. Why is that okay? That tilts the Muktzah min Hatzad, the Tzorach Dovra Muta. It's not considered the Tzorach Dovra Hasa. If I have a plate and I have money on the plate and I'm afraid someone's going to come into the house and he's going to walk off with the money, or it's windy in the house, I'm afraid the money's going to fly away in the wind, something. So then I want to take the play and tilt it over in order to hide the money somewhere. So that's tilt the mups min atzad, l'tzarech dover hosu. So that you're not allowed to do. But if I want to get rid of the junk, I don't want it to be on the plate. That's l'tzarech mekoma. I want to have a clean plate. I don't want to have the garbage over here. I want to get rid of it. It's not that I'm collecting garbage. I'm not going to make an experiment with the bones or anything. I'm not going to really feed it to the dogs. I'm going to throw it out in the garbage. So that's tilt the mups min atzad, l'tzarech dover hamuta. That would be muta. I want to say that the plate became a buses. I want to say the plate became a buses. So the Rishonim give different answers on that kasha. Somehow the Gemara assumes that davar pashut, the plate does not become a buses. Why not? So the Rashba on the first daf in Beitza gives a simple answer. He says based on the Gemara in the end of Beitza, the Gemara says if you invited a Nochri on Shabbos and the Nochri drinks a little wine, so the wine that he drinks, Maga'akum Masa's wine, whether he touches with his fingers or he touches with his lips. So when the Nochri is drinking the wine, he touches the wine in the cup with his lips and then he puts it down on the table. So the wine that's left behind becomes Stam Yenam. So Stam Yenam Bizmara Gemara was Asabano. So Stam Yenam is Asabano. So whatever is Asabano is not Michael Odom, it's not Michael Damon. So that's Muksa Mamish. But Manazeh, there's a Hepsim Rubu with Mako on the Stam Yenam that it should be Mutabano. So it's Mutabano. You can't say that it's Muksa. You can feed it to a Nochri. You can feed it to a dog. The Nochri probably wouldn't want to drink the leftover wine that this Nochri left. But you feed it to the dog. But maybe it wouldn't be Muksa. But at least, Bizmara Gemara, they're talking about on the assumption that the Stam Yenam is also Bano. So the Gemara raises that question. When a Nochri drinks the wine, and then he puts down the cup, and he has a tiny one drop left. Once you say the cup should be a basis of davar ha'atzur, so the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Let's say you have a basis of davar ha'atzur, davar ha'mutzur. So how do you determine whether it's mutzur or not? So the halacha says it depends which is machashur. If the davar ha'atzur is machashur, then davar ha'mutzur, then it becomes a basis of davar ha'atzur. If the davar ha'mutzur is chashur, so then it doesn't become a basis of davar ha'atzur. So here, what happens if it's not a basis of davar ha'atzur or a davar ha'mutzur? The bus is a davar ha'asa, but davar ha'asa is mamish, a piece of junk. The cup is a cup that I use for many years. Every time someone uses it, I wash it out and I reuse it and I reuse it, I reuse it. And the bus is for the leftover Stam Yenam. What is anybody in his right mind going to do with the leftover Stam Yenam? Wash it out and throw it down the drain. You're not going to use it at all. So it's mamish, a piece of junk. So if the thing is mamish junk, you don't consider that bus as davar ha'asa. If you have, let's say, someone lights candles, so the flame that has a hashivas, the flame illuminates the whole room. So the Hanukkah and their shem and the psil, halvinasa, bas davar asur, the shalahavis is a davar choshev. If someone has a place where he always puts his wallet, when he comes home on Friday and he's rushing to get ready for Shabbos, he always puts his wallet in one drawer, miyuchad, or he has a cash register, so he has money on that. So that's a bas davar asur, that's a davar choshev on there. But if he has junk over here, that's what the Rashba says. If he has junk in the kli, just like the Gemara says, that the cup, the kos in which the Nochri left over the Stam Yenam, does not become a basis because of that leftover yayin, because it's worthless, has no value, has no chashivis whatsoever. So it's over here. You're not going to say that the plate becomes a bas davar ha'asa because of the bones. The guy plans to throw out the bones in the garbage, so the plate can't become a bas davar ha'asa. That's the Rashba's contribution. Taisa doesn't say like that. Taisa says it's not called meiniach, it's called shocheach. Why is it called shocheach? And Morris says it only becomes a basis if he's meiniach. If he's shocheach, it doesn't become a basis. But it is meiniach. He's going to put the bones on the tablecloth. His wife is going to kill him. His mother is going to kill him. So he has to put the bones on the plate. So why is it not called meiniach? So the Rashash gives a suggestion, pshat and taisa. What are they talking about? So he says that maybe the pshat is that he has different courses on the plate. So it depends what did he eat first. He has vegetable salad and he has kugel and he has chalent and he has all kinds of things on the plate. Does he eat everything else up first and then the last thing he eats is the chicken and then there's nothing on the plate and he puts down the bones, then it's a basis davar ha'asa. But if he eats the chicken first and he puts down the bone, so he still has all the other food on it. And the other food is edible. So the food that's edible is much more choshev than the bone. So then, after he eats up all the rest of the food, So then it's called shocheach, because at the time that he placed the bone on, the plate didn't become a basis. Because with the basis, davar asa, the davar amutar. When does it become a basis? Later in the mela, because he eats up all the rest of the food, so there's nothing left. So that's called shocheach. The only time it's called meniach is if you put it on the plate, and the plate became a basis at the time that you put it on. But if at the time that you put on the bone, there was other food there on the plate. So the plate didn't become a basis because it had davar amutar, davar ha'asur. Davar amutar was clearly more chashuv than the davar ha'asur, because the rest of the food he plans to eat, the bone he's not going to eat. So then after he eats up the rest of the food, and mamele you're left with a bone on the plate, so that happened mamele, that's like shocher. He didn't put it on melechatchila in such a way that it should become a basis because it was davar amutar on him. So then it depends which one you ate up first. If the last thing that he ate was the chicken, and then he puts the bone down, so then it does become a basis davar amutar.
I think shocher according to the Rashba was like a chashuv edit.
Evan on the chavis. Apparently, it must be an evan that they sometimes use for something. Otherwise, how did they get on the chavis in the first place? Yeah, must be a paperweight or something. But it's still mukta. So this is the story of mukta here. We had a Tosfos on Kuf Chof Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a bright on Kuf Chof Amud Beis. Someone hangs a candle on the back of the door. When he opens the door, closes the door, he keeps on moving the candle. So Tosfos says to Kasha, what's going on? How is he allowed to open the door? The door should become a basis of davar ha'asur because it has a candle burning on the back. Just like the candlestick, so let the whole door become a basis of davar ha'asur. That's Tosfos Kasha and Kuf Chof on the base. So Tosfos gives one answer. The end of the Tosfos Pasach and oil. The Gamla Havi Bas Davar Hasa, the Bayis Chashav Hu, U Batal Agav Ha Bayis. The door is Batal Agav the Bayis. Chiddush in Tosfos, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a jacket that has a pocket in it, you have trousers that have a pocket, so on Shabbos you don't use the pockets anyway. So the main thing in the jacket is the jacket, the main thing in the trousers is the trousers, not the pocket. So the pocket, you have an ikar and a tofel over here, so the ikar is really the trousers or the jacket, then you have a pocket over here. So if someone left, let's say Meniach, somebody left a dollar bill in the pocket, adaita, to stay there the whole time. So that's not, even the pocket won't become a basis ledavar ha'asur, because the pocket is a tofel to the whole kli of the jacket and to the whole kli of the trousers. So to over here, that's in Shulchan Aruch, they got it from this place, is that the door is part of a big building. What do? You make a door in the middle of nowhere. You make a door. If you have a room with a floor, then you make a door. You don't just make a door in the middle of nowhere. So therefore, unless you have a place, you have on display, you have doors. I have a company, I sell doors. So just have doors, a tourist affairs with doors. So then the whole chashivus is the door. So then the door can become a basis. But you have a normal door that's attached to a whole room. So the bias is the ikir, and the door is the tuffel, like the packet is to the jacket. And then if you have a dover, a dvar mukta on hanging on the door, the door will not become a basis of davar ha'asur. So where did Tosfos get this idea from? That's the shtickel ter. But then they give another ter, tinami b'shachech de lo havi basis. So you can't really, or they can say a third ter, that it doesn't really mean that the candle is hanging on the door. Maybe it means it's hanging on the wall behind the door, like the other suggestion that Tosfos gave. So how did they know to come up with such a fantastic kiddush that the din of basis of davar ha'asur doesn't apply if it's on the tofel to get part of a logically? So the marker for that is Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Kelim. Mishnah Kelim talks about a kli shoprokin, a kli that has two parts. So Rashi learns that the kli is a sheet of table migdal that has wheels. So the Mishnah distinguishes, are the wheels detachable or are the wheels not detachable? The Bizman Shenish Metes, if the wheels can be detached, then ain't a chibolo. Then it's not considered chibur. Bizman she'ein in the shmetas, then it is a chibur. The mainach kemina, whether it is a chibur, it's not a chibur. So Rashi explains there is a din of magav mitzosa kimagav kulo. Let's say you have an apple. So Ronam Tomei touches one end of the apple. So you say only that end of the apple becomes Tomei. And the rest of the apple doesn't become Tomei. Only a half an inch around it. No. An apple is a natural unit. It grows like that. So magav mitzosa kimagav kulo. A loaf of bread, an Italian bread, is not a natural unit. It doesn't grow from the ground like that. It's not like a watermelon. It grows from the ground like that. Italian bread, that's the way they made it. So is that called a chibur that you should say magav mitzosa kimagav v'kulo? Whoever touches this then is considered as if he touched the whole thing, or a kli. A kli, a man-made kli, a piece of furniture. So they took different pieces, they nailed it together, they glued it together, they made a big kli out of it. So when do you say that is considered one magav mitzosa kimagav v'kulo? When is it chibur, when is it not? So by Oichlim, the Tanoim have a machloikas. Maybe it's a shame how we pass in halacha. Also, maybe it's only a chibur if the flour is held together with one of the zayin mashkin. But let's say if you made cake or cookies and you didn't use any water and you didn't use any of the zayin mashkin, you just used orange juice, apple fried or something like that, eggs, other mashkin, other anything other than the zayin mashkin. So maybe that's not a chibur. So that's a machloekes satanim. So sometimes holds the halacha only zayin mashkim is mechaber, and if it's not held together with zayin mashkim, and it's not a natural unit, it doesn't grow in the ground like that. So if you touch one end, only that end will be tamei, the rest will not be tamei. You don't say magav mitzosa kimagav kulo. So here, let's say by a kli. So by a kli is pashut. By a kli is pashut. If it functions together, as you see an apple or a bread, you can cut off a little bit of the apple. You can, who says that, well, you always eat a whole apple. Who says you'll eat a whole apple? Maybe you'll only eat a slice of an apple, a loaf of bread, such a long Italian bread. So you can't say, well, it's one loaf of bread. Why is one loaf of bread? I eat a little bit, I'll eat one slice, you'll eat one slice, I'll eat one slice. What does one slice got to do with the next slice? So maybe if the tummy touches one end of the bread, maybe it's not the time of the whole bread. So why should you call it one unit? Well, you can't have one slice without the bread. You could have baked a little bit. But if you have a kli, that's the way the kli works. Let's say a shoe. Let's say a shoe is a man-made unit. But you wear a shoe. It has to be my size. It doesn't help that it's large enough to be the size of a baby. If you need an adult needs a shoe, so he needs a large size shoe. So the whole shoe functions together. So that's over here the din. If you have a kli, let's say a bishita table, a migdal, a carriage, and you have a muchanishalo, and you have a wheel attached to the carriage. So there's mancha ein in the shmetis, if you don't detach it, then it's considered one big kli. Why? I bet it's man-made. The answer is that's the way it functions. That's the function altogether. So then it's considered one big kli. And then you say, magav mitzosa kemagav kulo. If somebody will touch this one, the other kli will also become tamei. It's considered as if he touched both. But there's mancha ein in the shmetis, but there's man that you can take off the wheel and replace it with a different wheel, take off that one and place it again. Then it's considered shnei kelim hamechuparim yachad, and the man that the tummy touches one, the next one will not be tummy. Okay. Depends whether nishmetis or ain't nishmetis, whether chibur law or ain't a chibur law. Yeah. And what's another nafkamina? So the brisa gives a nafkamina, the mishnah. So mishnah kelim gives a nafkamina, whether he niach alei amois on the wheel, will it become muktana? He left money on erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos. So the wheel becomes busted for davar ha'asam. So why shouldn't it become busted? What's the difference whether nishmetis or ain't a nishmetis? So that's what Tosfos asks. Ain gerurim oisa. That's the Tosfos amem dalan on the base. Why does it depend? So Tosfos explains in zansha nishmetis, when it's removable, so then a shnei kelim nifrodim. So then I left money on the wheel. So that's mamish a busted for davar ha'asam. There's mancha ein in the shmetis, so the wheel is part of the kli of the shita teva migdal. So the main part of the kli is considered the shita teva migdal where the people sit. The wheel is only in order that it should be able to function. I don't know why is that considered not the most important part. I'm not sure. I understand why the pockets are not the main part of the jacket, because you can use the jacket without the pockets also. Pockets are tuffel digger. Why is the wheel considered a tuffel digger part of the shita teva migdal? It can't roll. It can't move if it doesn't have a wheel. I don't know, but that's what Tosfos assumes. Is man shen ishmetes? It's a kli bifnei atzma. Shen ishmetes muta legora abo legora afal pishesh alamos kem shen amagabi hashida shehi ikra kli. So there's no din abasus ledavar ha'asur. it doesn't become the Dovah Tofel that's Mechubah to the Iker, doesn't become a basis because I put some money on it. It's an interesting pshat. That's how Taisus learned pshat in this Mishnah in Caleb. What else depends whether, so you have a few nafkiminas, whether Bizman Shenishmet is Bizman Shenishmet. One nafkimina whether Chibolo, whether Magib and Tosek and Magib Kul. Another nafkimina whether it can become, can the Muchani become, can the wheel become a basis Dover Oseh? Is it a separate Kli Bifne Atzma or is it a Dover Tuffel theologically? Dover Tuffel says there's no din of basis Dover Oseh. Third nafkimina is whether Nimdede Simo. What is that Nimdede Simo? So Rashi explains that there is a din. Rashi explains that the different series of Mishnayis and Kelim. So this, it says, this is Perik Yud Ches and Kelim. This Perik is dedicated to Dinam of Kli Eitz. So there is a din by Kli Eitz. Kli Eitz Habo B'mido is Eina Mekabel Tumah. If it's gigantic, it's not Mekabel Tumah. What's called Kli Eitz Habo B'mido if it's Machzik Memso? How do you measure the Memso? Do you measure literally Machzik Memso? But the Kli Eitz is so big it can contain a boim so, it means it has a volume. The avir inside the Kli Eitz has a volume of Am Alama Barum Gimel Amas. That the Gemara says that's the shear of a mikveh. That's mem so. So it's Am Alama Barum Gimel Amas, 3 cubic Amas. So do you measure from how much avir there is inside? That's the Shamei Shita. We don't accept their Shita, you measure from the outside. You even include the thickness of the Kli itself in calculating the mem so. So that's how we pass it. So that's what it says over here. That if it's bizman shehei chibur, bizman shein nishmetus, and it's chibur, and the whole thing is a Kli Eitz, so then you calculate whether you have machzik memso. Machzik memso is not going to be mekabel tumah. You calculate everything all together. The shida with the muchani together. Do you have memso? But bizman shein nishmetus, if it's removable and replaceable, then the shnei kelim anogim zebizeh. Shnei kelim amchubarim yachad. So if the shnei kelim, then you have to judge each kli on its own. So that's the halacha of nimded esima or ena nimded esima. What's the story? Matzel esima boil hameis. What in the world is that all about? What is that all about? So Rashi interprets that it must be talking. He quotes the pshat from his rabbeim and he says he doesn't know what in the world that's all about. He just can't. Rabbi said dochtim and forish mosa boil hameis mamish, and he doesn't understand that. So he gave his own pshat. So what was Rashi's own? First he gives his own pshat. So his own pshat is that the sheet of Teva Migdol, someone went with it into a cemetery. It's a wagon. It's a wagon and it's moving in the cemetery. And someone is sitting inside the sheet of Teva Migdol. So the question, and there is no roof above. So you're not talking about Ohel Hamshocha. There are three kinds of Ohel. There's one Ohel, I'm mile on the mace, another oil, the mace is mile on top of me, and the third oil is oil I'm shoving. We're not talking that there's an oil on top of me and the mace. We're talking just I'm riding directly above the mace. The only question is, but I have a floor below me, the floor of the Shita Teva Migdol. So the floor is going to be Chaitzitz Bifnei Atuma. So the question is, but we have a Klal Dovah HaMakabal Tuma, and a Chaitzitz Bifnei Atuma. Is the floor, which is part of the Kli of the Shita, is that Mekabel Tumah not? So Rashi said, well, we just explained. If it's a Kli Eitz Habo B'midah, if it's Machzik Mem So, then it itself is not Mekabel Tumah, then it can be Choytzitz B'Fnei HaTumah. And if it's not Machzik Mem So, then it is Mekabel Tumah, then it's not going to be Choytzitz B'Fnei HaTumah. That's how Rashi learns. How can it possibly be Choytzitz B'Fnei HaTumah? You have a wagon that's moving, isn't that an oil zorek? Don't we have a klal in the Gemara, oil zorek, lav shmei ohel? Lochutz b'fnei atuma. So Rashi says, yeah, it's a machlekes satanoin. And this Mishnah Kelim goes like the opinion that's not accepted. In other words, the Mishnah shaloi ka'alocha. Mishnah goes shaloi ka'alocha. Rashi refers to that. Shenichnas of the Beis HaKvoris, kidi amina be'erev in daf lamed amad alef, rebu doi ma'af of the Beis HaKvoris, neshiyoch alom shinite v'migdo, kasavar oil zorek shmei oil. Lochutz b'fnei atuma. We pass ganatza, we pass ganatza, oil zorek. Is not Choytzitz B'fnei HaTumah. Tosis writes in Gittin and in Erev, and every time the topic comes up, Tosis keeps on repeating the same chiluk. And the Mishnah Mala points out that the other Rishonim don't agree with Tosis. Tosis points the proof from Mishnayis that there are two kinds of oil zorek. That if the oil zorek is moving on the ground, it has the wheels on the ground, a train or a wagon that's moving on the ground, so then there's a machlekes hatanoim. And we paskin against Reb Yehuda, the majority opinion. We pass it's not an oil lahakel, but it is an oil lahachmer. is that the floor is not an oil to be choitzitz b'fnei atumah, but the roof is an oil to be maybe as atumah. It is an oil to be maybe as atumah. Let's say I know for sure the bus is moving, and I'm sitting on the right side of the bus, and I know for sure that the left half of the bus passed over a mace. There's a dead body buried below. But I'm not sitting in the left half of the bus. So if I'm sitting in a spot that I directly passed over a mace, let me say the floor is not choytetz b'fnei atumah. The oil zorik is not choytetz b'fnei atumah. But the roof that the bus has is maybe a satumah. So even though I'm only sitting on the right side and only the left side of the bus passed over the mace underneath it, so we say that the oil zorik is maybe a satumah. So Tosfos says that's only if you're in a wagon that has wheels on the ground. But if you're in an airplane and the thing is flying, how do Tosfos have a hechdirus of an airplane? So Tosfos has, you have a mishnah, you have a clothesline, and you have sheets hanging in the wind, hanging down. And the wind is blowing, so the sheets are flying like this. And the sheets don't have, the sheets are on top of the clothesline, which is held up by the buildings on the side. It's held up by the poles. But none of the sheets have any feet on the ground. They don't have any wheels. They're not standing on the ground. They're just flying like this. Or you have a talus hamenach nefesh. Someone threw a talus out the window, and it's flying down. And it turns out that I am under, this is a gigantic talus, that I was under one end of the talus at the same time that the mace was under the other end of the talus. That this is quotes a mishnah that such a case of oil zorik talus hamenach nefesh, that the thing is not even, it's not even like with wheels on the ground. That's not even maybe a satum. That's not an oil at all. It's not even maybe a satum.
You stand on the ground.
Right.
You're standing on the ground. I mean, even though the wheels don't stand on the ground, or if not on the ground, if you were on the ground, isn't that even worse?
No, because the oil doesn't count. That's not lav shmei oil. An oil zarek is lav shmei oil. So if it's really oil zarek, like talas hamenach nefesh, that's not an oil, not lahavi a satum. And not lochets b'fnei atumah, but all the hakav, but all the hakav. That's what Tosfos claims. But if it's an oil zarek that's rolling on the ground, an automobile or something like that that's rolling on the ground, so then it's a, let's say the airplane when it's taxiing on the ground, so it's there for the Jews. The roof is maybe a satumah, and the floor is not choytes b'fnei atumah. Once the plane takes off, so then it's neither maybe a satumah nor choytes b'fnei atumah. Shas when it's taxiing, and we say it's only an oil lahachman, not an oil lahakel, that sounds like a din de rabbanon. It's an oil lahachma, it's not an oil lahakel. That sounds like it. So some achrayim say that is correct. That whole distinction is only with the rabbanim and atur. It is an oil. And the oil zarek ishmei of both choytzis b'fnei atumah and maybe as atumah, it's both. And the whole distinction that you say it's only an oil lahachma, not lahakel, this is only with the rabbanim and atur. It is choytzis b'fnei atumah. And others say no. We can understand this on the level of their eyes. They don't think that it's so inconceivable to say that that first level of an oil zarek is only an oil lahavis atumah, and it's only an oil lahavis atumah and not lochutz b'fnei atumah. So this is the way Rashi learns pshat in the Gemara Nachamot, that you're going with a wagon on the cemetery and the tumas mace is going up. Mace is metami ba'ohel. We're not talking about oil hamshocha, no roof on top, no roof on top, just oil. I'm being mahil on the mace, and the floor of the wagon is choytzeitz b'fnei atumah. Why is the choytzis b'fnei atumah? Because behold, but the shita that's not accepted. This mishnah holds like Rav Yehuda that oil zarek is choytzis b'fnei atumah. But it can only be choytzis b'fnei atumah if it's not mekabel tumah itself. If the thing itself is mekabel tumah, so the tumah goes through and through. The tumah penetrates, and so it can't be choytzis b'fnei atumah. So is the shita taken? Is it mekabel tumah or not? So the mishnah says, well, it depends. It's wooden, so if it's machzik memsor, then it's not mekabel tumah. If it's not machzik memsor, then it is mekabel tumah. So that's what it says over here. If you cannot remove the wheel from the thing, so then it's one kli. So you measure the memsor nimdedes imor. It's measured together, and then you say you have memsor. You have memsor. It's ainu mekabel tumah. Once it's ainu mekabel tumah, so it's choytzis b'fnei atumah. But if it's bizman she nishmetes, if it's removable, so neither this has memsor nor that has memsor. So then they're both two separate kelim, and each one is going to be mekabel tumah, so neither is going to be choytzis b'fnei atumah. Yeah. So Tosfos has a taina against Rashi. Rashi doesn't see, according to the way I just presented it, so two of the dinim in the Mishnah are mamish identical. If bizman shehein, bizman shenishmetes, I treat each one separately, sein in dedesima. Each one has memso. Each one has less than memso. Each one is makabel tuma. So neither can be choytes b'fnei atuma. The zman she'ena nishmetes, if it can't be removed, then it's one kli. One kli, you measure the memso together. It has memso, so it's not makabel tuma, so it's choytes b'fnei atuma. So it comes out that whether choytes matzelas boel ames she'ena matzelas is just a repeat of the din of the mdedesima, even the mdedesima. It's a repeat. If it's mdedesima, then it has memso. It has memso, it's not makabel tuma. Not makabel tuma, it's choytes b'fnei atuma. So Tosfos said this. So Rashi seems to have understood. He wants to make it a little better than that. So if this, Rashi touches it up. So he says we're talking about a case. Let's say the Shita Teva Migdal has Memsor. The Shita Teva Migdal has Memsor, but the Muchani doesn't have Memsor. Shita Teva Migdal is where people sit. That's what Rashi learns. People sit over there, so it has Memsor. Of course, it's going to. The whole Shia of Memsor is Matzik Rosh and Rubosha, when a person is Togel in the Mikvah, Kol Gufa Mavasachas. So if you have a chariot, a coach, but people sit, of course it's going to be Matzik Memsor. So Rashi learns, the whole topic is whether the Shida, whether the Mukhani has. So Mukhani normally does not have Memsor, but Bizman She'ena Nishmetes, and because the Shida has Memsor, so it's considered one Kli with the Shida, so then the Mukhani is also Chaytzis B'Fnei Atumah. This bancha nishmet is if it's removable, so the shida, so the mukhani is a separate kli. Mukhani is a separate kli, so the mukhani doesn't have memsor, so then it's going to be mekabatum. So Rashi learns like this. You have a kli that's on top of the shida, but it's protruding above. And the mukhani is somehow, you need the mukhani to be matzal b'fnei atum. So Tosfos says, what do you need the mukhani? Let's see here, the Gemara is the shida. And this is the Kli. So the Kli is on top of the Shida. So if the Shida has Memsor, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Not Mekabel Tumah, it's Chaytzis B'Fnei Atumah. So what, forget about the Mukhni. What's the problem over here with the Mukhni? Who? What's the issue? So it doesn't understand what Rashi's talking about. The Pashab Shat in Rashi means that it's tilting over the side. That's the Pashab Shat. Half of the Kli is in the Shida. Tosfos imagines all the Kelim are standing straight. So what do you need the Mukhni to be Matzah? The answer is not so straight. This Kli is leaning over the person, whatever it is leaning over the edge. So the Shida is not enough to be Matzah B'Fnei Atumah. You need the Mukhni should also be Matzah B'Fnei Atumah. But the Mukhni never has Memsor. A wheel doesn't have Memsor. So Bezman She'Nishmetes, it's treated separately. Treated separately, doesn't have Memsor, so it's Mekabel Tumah. Bezman She'Nishmetes, then it's treated together, so the whole thing together for sure, this for sure has Memsor. So the Mukhani is also considered, the wheel is also considered that it has Memsor. So that's what Rashi seems to understand, it's leaning on the side. Tosfos didn't understand like that. So Tosfos, here's a different shot, let's see. What did Rabbi Yisrael Shal Rashi learn? Rabbi Yisrael Shal Rashi learned that we're talking oil ames mamish, because the Lashon HaMishnah is matzelus boil ames, ain't a matzelus boil ames. So the way Rashi learns, it does mean oil ames, it means beis hakvaris. Oil ames is a different thing. I walked into an oil ames, I'm inside a shita teva migdal, and I'm inside a room where they have a dead body. Oil ames is not the same thing as a beis hakvaris. So the rabbis of Shorashi say, where do you have such a din in halacha? A person goes into an oil ames, and he's not mekabel tumah. How can it be that he, in the oil ames, not mekabel tumah, but the roof is maybe tumah, everybody? So he says, a din of chumash, of Tzomit Pasul, Muk of Tzomit Pasul. What is the din of Muk of Tzomit Pasul? So the original din of Chumash is by Kli Cheres. Because Kli Cheres has a lot of unusual details to it. So one of the dinim is, it's not Mekabel Tumah from the outside, Migabo, it's not Mekabel Tumah Mitocho. Once it's Mitocho, so it's a bigger chiddush, even Mekabel Tumah Me'aviro. If the dead sheretz is dangling in the avir, it's also Mekabel Tumah. But since it's not Mekabel Tumah from the outside, so the Torah can have a din if it's Muk of Tzomit Pasul. So the Tumas mace doesn't go into the Kli Cheres. Because the whole Kli Cheres is sealed, it's closed. If it's sealed tightly, the Kli Cheres is sealed tightly, the Muk of Tzomit Pasul. And then I say that the Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah, and Migabo. If you have any other Kli that's Mekabel Tumah from the outside, so how can it be matzil on the person who's inside the Kli, or on the Uchla Mamashim that's inside the Kli? The Kli itself is Mekabel Tumah. So Dorma Mekabel Tumah, no Chaytzis B'Shneah Tumah, how can it prevent the Tumah from penetrating through and through to go into the Echel Mamashim or the Adam who's inside the Kli? If the Tumah affects the Kli itself, it's Mekabel Tumah. So So Rashi quotes from the Rabbeisav that they understood that this Mishnah must be talking about a Klicheres. Why do it have to be talking about a Klicheres? Because the Klicheres is the only Kli that's not Mekabel Tumah from the outside. Truth of the matter is that the Mishnayos have there that it could be other Kelim also. Any Kli that's not Mekabel Tumah is Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah. If you have Oichel Mamashkin, okay. The Torah gives an example of Kli Cheres, not Mekabel Tumah from the outside, it's not Mekabel Tumah from the inside. So it's Mukab Tzomit Pasol, so it's Matal on whatever is inside. You can have other Kelim also. Take, for example, if you have a Kli Tavo B'Mido, a Kli Tavo B'Mido, you have a gigantic Kli HaMachzik Memso. So it's also, it's a wooden Kli, wooden Kli is Mekabel Tumah from the outside, but it's a wooden Kli that's Machzik Memso, so then it's Eina Mekabel Tumah, so then it can be Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah. Then it can be Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah. The Tosis is unhappy about that. What in the world are you talking about? What do you mean? Kliyates? Habo b'nido is not mekabel tumah. That's fine if it's not miyuchad lemedrash. For example, you have an Aron Kodesh. That's a Gemara in Megillah, the Tosis quotes. Tosis quotes Megillah daf chavod on the base. That on Shabbos somebody died and the Kohen wanted to go into shul in order to daven, in order to duchen. And the room adjacent to the shul, someone had died in that room. So the Kohanim can't go into shul because there was a big opening in between. There's no way, there were no doors. Well, she just closed the door. No doors. What are you going to do? So they asked the Rava. So Rava said, take the Aron Kodesh, which is a gigantic wooden Aron Kodesh, which was Masig Memsor, and move it to block up the opening. One's going to block up the opening, so the Tumas Meis won't go through. So then the Kohanim can go. Aye, but if the Aron Kodesh is a Kli Yetzes Mekabel Tumah, so how can a Gavra Mekabel Tumah and a Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah? So the answer is no, it's a Kli Yetzes Habo B'Mido. It's a gigantic Aron Kodesh Machzik Memsor. So it's Eina Mekabel Tumah. So Tosfos says, I understand that. Yeah, there is a Mishnah. Mishnah is like that. Kli Yetzes Habo B'Mido is not Mekabel Tumah, but that's because it's not Miyuchad L'Yeshiva Sodom. But if you have a Kli Yetzes Shida Teva Mikveh that people sit in, a wooden coach that people sit in, and the horses pull it, and it has wheels on the side. So there's Miyuchad LeMedras. They come up with a Gemara in Bukhairis, on Daf Lamed Ches, where it says, Beferish, that what? That if you have a Kli, that if you have a Kli that should really, have a Kli Yates that should really not be Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara in Bukhairis is not really talking about Kli Yates on both meters. It's talking about Pshute Kli Yates. If you have Kli Yates that's flat, it doesn't have a base kibble, it doesn't have a toch, it doesn't have an indentation. Like we said, the spoon that you have with the Dixie cup is flat. Or you have the board, the challah board is flat. So the din is that the spoon for the Dixie cup is not Mekabel Tumah. The challah board is not Mekabel Tumah Natura. Tosfos has a Chiddush in Sukkah, in the beginning of Sukkah, is Mekabel Tumah Midrabbanah. So since you can use it as a tray to serve on it, we're not going to use it as a tray because it doesn't have lids of bozen on the side. If you're going to tilt it over a little bit, everything is going to fall off. So we're not going to use it as a tray. But since theoretically it could be used as a tray, so Tosfos has a chiddush. I write from a Gemara, there's Mekabel Tumah Midrabbanah. But on the level of the rice, it's Kliyates. It's only Mekabel Tumah if it has a toch. If it's Pshuti Kliyates, not. So the Gemara B'chori says, what happens if it's Miyuchad LeYeshiva, Miyuchad LeMedris? So not only does it have Tumas Medris, it even has Tumas Mago. If someone will touch it, it'll also become Tumas. Because whatever is Mekabel Tumas Medris, there's also Mekabel Tumas Mago. So Tosfos is making a Hashvor. They made a chiddush. Just like a kliyate she'ein lo toch. If it's miyuchad lemedris, it's mekabel tumas medris, also mekabel tumas mago. So what? Dinami, if you have a kliyate tabo, the midah, it's not, but it's miyuchad li yeshiva, a shidate, the midah miyuchad li yeshiva, a coach that people sit in, a wooden coach. But since it's miyuchad li yeshiva, so it's mekabel tumas medris, and ho dinami, it's mekabel tumas mago. So that's how they wiped away Rashi's pshat. So the chiddushi haran, the sefer that's called chiddushi haran here, he comes to defend Rashi, and apparently a lot of Rishonim hold like this. In Kalim and other sources, Rambam sounds like holds like this, that is not a good hashavah. The spoon of the Dixie cup, the Kliyates, that's a Pshute, is not Mekabel Tumah, it's Xeris HaKosef. If it's Pshute Kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah, means despite the fact that it's a Kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So whenever it's Miyuchad LeYeshiva, whenever it's Miyuchad LeMedris, so we have a pasuk that there has Tumas Medris and has Tumas Maga. But if the Kli Yetzes Habo B'Mido, it's not a Xeris HaKosef, that despite the fact that it's a Kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So Allah declares that it's Harizah Ka'ohel. It's like a Cheder. That's the Loshon Rambam. It's not mekabel tumah because it's not called a kli. It's too big to be called a kli. It's called an ohel. That's why we had Rashi, the Orza, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, Rosh Shabbos quoted the Orza Ruah, who came to defend Rashi. Rashi sheet is named Binyan Mikalim, period. There's no Binyan Mikalim law. I said Tosfos had three kashas against Rashi. One of the kashas was Agmar and Erevin, Rand Aflam and Gimel, Aflam and Dalda. It says Beferish that there is Binyan Mikalim by Shita Teva Migdal. So the Orza Ruah says the terraces, and the Ramah quotes the terraces, the Dai Gemara is talking about a gigantic Migdal, gigantic wooden piece of furniture that's Machzik Memsor. If it's Machzik Memsor, it's called an Ohel. So that's not called Ein Binyan Mikalim, that's called an Ohel. So there is a din of binyan on that. So that's the yishuv that the Chiddush Aran says on the Rashi over here. That when does the Gemara say in Choris and Daf Lametches that even though it doesn't have a toch, but it's miyuchad li yeshiva, that since it has tumas medris, so it also has tumas mago, that's because it doesn't have a toch, that's tamak zeris hakosit. But over here, if it doesn't have memstor, it's not called a kli. It doesn't have tumas medris either. It has no tumas medris. So perhaps that's Rashi's opinion over here. This din again, so this din of Mukav Tzomit Pasil, the din of Mukav Tzomit Pasil, in the Chumash it only appears in connection with Kli Cheres, because Kli Cheres is the only Kli that's Mekabel Tumah, but it's only Mekabel Tumah Mitoch, it's not Mekabel Tumah Migabo. So if it's sealed, so it protects whatever is inside. Ochle Mashkem Odom, if there's an Odom inside, so it protects them from being Mekabel Tumah. But based on the Kelim that I mentioned in Chumash, that's the only Kli. If you have synthetic kelim, let's say you have a plastic kli, and we should assume that synthetic kelim are not mekabel tumah, which we do assume. The Gemara says in the first parak in Shabbos that kli zechuchis is not mekabel tumah because it doesn't say a chumash. Or in the days of Shimon Shetach, they made a takona that kli zechuchis is mekabel tumah with the rabbanim. But anything other than kli zechuchis and it's not mentioned in a chumash is not mekabel tumah. Probably not mekabel tumah, not minatar, not with the rabbanim. We had a machlekes achrayim. The Vilna Gaon with the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis, who disagrees with the Vilna Gaon, he quotes him and he disagrees. What about other matechas other than the five metals that are mentioned in Chumash? What if you have aluminum? Aluminum is a metal that not mentioned in Chumash, because in the days of Tanakh they never had the ability to separate the aluminum from the iron. So maybe aluminum is not mekabel tumah at all. So if you have any other, so maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe it is mekabel tumah because when it says in the Chumash, all the metals on this throw, maybe it's lavdavke. What it means is kli mateches. Lavdavke, these five mateches that I mentioned. Any kli mateches. But let's say you come up with some new material, synthetic material. The kli is not mentioned in the Chumash. It's not mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah out there. It's not mekabel tumah with the rabbanim. Who are the rabbanim who instituted on nylon or whatever? So let's say if you have a nylon sack, and the guy will go into the sack and he'll tie it up, make a double knot on top of the sack. He won't choke. He can make holes in the sack for air to go through. So that's what we mentioned. Amzam Nechemi gave a haskama on this picture book to learn to learn Mishnah's Kalim. So he writes that the pictures are accurate. They correspond to the Kalim and the Mishnah's. Then he writes, and by the way, if the coin wants to travel by plane over a cemetery and it's a Shaila from Tumas Meis, I got a simple solution. Let him get a Mukav Tumit Pasul, a Kli that's just not Mekabel Tumah at all. What Kli is not Mekabel Tumah? It's nylon. So let the coin walk into a nylon sack. Let him tie a double knot. He can control it. He'll tie a double knot. No problem of breathing. He'll be able to breathe. Has air holes all over the place. No problem. And the nylon kli is not mekabel tumah. It's mukav tumah pasul. So it's not mekabel tumah. So it's chaytus b'fnei tumah. So he won't become tumah. Simple solution. They did it. But the passengers on the plane were petrified. They thought the guy was committing suicide. They didn't understand what was going on. He was just following Rav Zalman Nechemi's recommendation. But that's based on this. Tosfos quotes Mishnayos like that. That's the din. Then Tosfos has another fascinating topic over here. Yes.
So, in the case where there was a mace, and Tosfos suggests they use the arm to block off.
Rabbi said they should move the arm in there.
Right, but we're talking about a case where the arm was Mansi.
Memsor.
So isn't it Moksi because it's a Kuzgado? Based on that Gemara Nehru?
I don't know. It's a good kasha. That's an interesting kasha. Someone has got to work on that kasha. I don't know. Got to look there, the Rishonim on Megillah. And Daf Chavah, what do they say? That's a good kasha.
Yeah.
If a davar matame is in the cheres, that's mukotam pasul. Still matame around it.
Yeah, mukotam pasul is only matzil if the tumah is on the outside and the tahara is on the inside. But if the tumah is on the inside, it doesn't protect the people on the outside from becoming tummy. They do become tummy, yeah. Then Taisus has the kasha on the last Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, the very last daf. If you have to say a hadran on Masechet Shabbos, this is a good topic to talk about. Chuf Nun Zayin says, Dimei Abishol Ben Botnes Papukos Amor B'Tafiyah. There was a mace, and the tumah went from one room to the other because there was a tafiyah. There was a ma'or. A ma'or means a window for light to go in. And they took a tafiyah is a klicheres, a kli. It's not makabal tumah. They took a klicheres and they put it in one direction. So the tumah was not facing the inside of the klicheres, it was facing the outside. And it blocked up the whole ma'or. It blocked up the whole window. So the tumah didn't go through. Sure. So that's how they prevented the tumah. They blocked the tumah from going through. So Tosis is bothered with a kasha. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra in the second parak, Lo Yachpor, Tavkof and Abdes, where the Gemara says, Roki Kenim and Mait Bachalon. If you have a window that causes the tumah to go from one room to the other, and you put a latke there, a roki, or anything that's Roy Lachila, and you only plan to leave it there temporarily, the thing is Roy Lachila, why should you leave it there permanently? So then it's not Mait Bachalon. Mait means that the chalon has to have a minimum of tefach of tefach. Once you put the roki there, it no longer has that shear. So we're talking obviously about a rakik which is in the Kabbal Tumah. If the rakik is in the Kabbal Tumah, of course it's not facing the Tumah. The Tumah will permeate it, it'll penetrate it, it'll become Tumah, and it won't block it from going through. We're talking about somehow a rakik that was never Hukshul the Kabbal Tumah. It doesn't have any one design mashkim in it, it only has made papers in it. Fine. So because it's Roy Lachila, it's Chazilei, so therefore it's Ainim Amayit Bachalom. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha. What do you do with the Mishnah Kufnun Zayin, the last Mishnah, the last daf in the Masechta? How they block up Pakeku es Hamor? How they block up the window by putting in a tafiyah? A tafiyah is a kli, but they plan to take the kli out and to continue to use it. What do you mean? They left the kli there permanently. They're going to leave it there. Tosis says no. Then it's Tosefis. The din is oil aroi. You're not allowed to make in the first place, but the make of Tosefis oil aroi is mutter. But if Tosefis oil is only mutter, if it's aroi, if you plan to leave it there for a brief period of time, if you plan to leave it there permanently, then it's not aroi, then it's shalkeva. There should be an Easter over there. So Tosefis understands, obviously, he only left the tafiyah there temporarily, he's going to take it down very soon. So how is that choytzes b'fnei atumah? The Gemara says in Baba Basra, it's only choytzes. If you mevatel it there, you leave it there permanently. So the Rishonim have two terutzim on the kasha. So Tosefis teretz on the kasha is fantastic. Imagine with the Rabbeinu Tam's imagination, tremendous shtikal Torah. It depends. The Gemara's lashon is rocky kainam and mayit bachalon. Those are in a story to misachalon. So the Rabbeinu Tam and Baba Basin here and all over Shas and Sefer Yoshi, he says if they would put in rocky to be soysim the whole chalon, then it would be soysim. They put in a rocky to make it less than a tefach al tefach. So for mayit bachalon purposes, you have to have that it should be there kavua. To be soysim legamrei, that you don't need kavua. So that Mishnah on the last daf, Pokakos Hamor B'Tafiyah, it blocked up the whole window. And the same thing in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chavav, Rabbi said they should move the Aron Kodesh over there. But then after Havdalah, they're going to move the Aron Kodesh back where it belongs. So the Aron Kodesh was only there temporarily. So how is this Chaytus of Tumah if it's only there temporarily? The answer is, but the Aron Kodesh was so big it was blocking the entire opening between the side room and the shul. Whenever it blocks the entire opening, even if it's only there temporarily, it is choytzes b'fnei atumah. But if it's only memayit, then you have to have that you should leave it there permanently. Leave it there temporarily, then it's not memayit. This is the Rabbeinu Tam's fantastic shtikal Torah. They quote b'shem Rav Chaim, a whole beer, what that's all about. It has been the Rabbeinu Tam. And other Rishonim give a different teretz on these two kashas. One kasha is from the Gemara Megillah, that they put the Aron Kodesh only temporarily, and one kasha from the Mishnah in the end of Masechet Shabbos, that they put the Tafiyah only temporarily. So the Ran on the first daf on the Rif in Sukkah, daf Aleph, Homer Seis, I think. The Ran is talking about a Gemara there in Sukkah. There's such a similar din. If you have a Sukkah in the Schach as Lamala Metzimam, it's no good. So how do you solve your problems? So either you lower the Schach or you elevate the ground level. So sometimes it's easier to elevate the ground level than to lower the schach. How can you elevate the ground level? It's like, what's the problem? The Gemara says, take a couple of mattresses and put them on the floor, and the ground level is higher now. So now you have less than esrim amos. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. How long do you plan to leave the mattresses there? Just going to leave it there a day or two, since you're not it kavua, so it doesn't blend in to become part of the floor, and it's considered as if the ground level of the sukkah is really below all the mattresses, and you still have a gova of lamayla mesmam, so it's no good. So the Rishonim seem to assume that these two dinim are similar or identical. But just like Rocky, Zainim and Ma'it Bachalon, because you have to be Mavatalit there, so too over here, the mattresses are not Ma'it, and the Gova is Yeser Mama, because you're not Mavatalit mattresses. So putting the two together, so how much of a Bittul do you need? So we usually say, oh, you got a plan to leave the Rocky there indefinitely, and plan to leave the mattresses there indefinitely. So the Ran has Yeshomrim, and the Mishnah Berurah Patsnuz Lahakta like the Yeshom. Yeshomrim, if you plan to leave the mattresses there for the whole duration of Chagat Sukkot, that's called permanent leave. From the perspective of Sukkot, that's called the Yonah Void. You don't have to look from the perspective of a historian, it has to be there for 1,000 years. If you plan from the perspective of Yontav Sukkot, that's called Eilomis, Bitl Eilomis. So the same thing, let's say, the Tumah. If you plan, you put in a tafiach in the mo'or, in the window, or you put the Aron Kodesh by the doorway that separates between the room of the Mesas and the Beis HaKnesses, and you plan to leave the tafiach or the Aron Kodesh there until after Havdolah when the Chevet Kadisha comes and takes away the mace. So if you're going to plan to leave there, Kol Zman Shehameisnim Tosham, that's called Bitul Olamos. From the perspective of the Tumas Mace, that's called Bitul Olamos, and you don't need really Olamos from a historical perspective for 1,000 years, for more than 6 months or something, as long as it's called Zman Shatumasham. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Sukkah is Mekel on this, and the Sharatin has a whole pilpul, and he thinks that the whole din that you have to have Bitul Olamos, otherwise it's Sukkah is no good, and the whole din you have to have Bitul Olamos, otherwise it's, the Tumah goes through. If you leave it there only temporarily, it doesn't blend in to be part of the floor and part of the building. He quotes a Tosfos in Erevin, and he thinks that Tosfos said that that's only Midrabbanan. So since the whole topic is only a Chumra Midrabbanan, and I tell you, you don't need Bitul Olamos, so he says, no, so 2 days in the Rishonim, Sfeika Derabbanan Lekula. So you can go Lekula, that a Bitul Kolzman HaMitzvah is sufficient. So that's a question you have to look up at Tosfos to see. Tosfos really isn't talking about this case at all, talking about a totally, totally different case. So there's a mokum lechalik. There's a chiddush, a shtikel Torah that the Mishnah Berurah has in the Sharatzim. The Kenzach dinging with this. Then we had the bottom tesis, Mem Dal Mem Beis. We discussed what if the thing is called Malach Tali Yisr. So the Gemara says that it's Muktzeh if you're mazmin something to put money on it permanently. You're not going to use it for anything else, only to put money. Is that only Muktzah Liba the Reb Yudah, or is that even Muktzah Liba the Reb Shimon? So we discussed a few times about how do you learn the Gemara Lamed Vav about Chatzotzos and about Shofar. Which one is Reb Yudah, which one is Reb Shimon? So there is such a Gemara later. The Gemara says if you have a Muktzah Machmas Chisarin Kis, even Reb Shimon is Moide, that's on Kuf Chav Gimel, because Kevin the Kopet Alei. Miyachid Lamokim. What's that significance of Miyachid Lamokim? So the Rabbeinu Tam, the way he takes the quote, Rabbeinu Tam, he says it's called Malach Tali Yisr. Even Rav Shimon will agree. And the other Rishonim say, Nah, that's not what it says. It doesn't say called Malach. Called Malach Tali Yisr is the Machlek Zabud and Rav Shimon. It says there Miyachid Lamokim. If you Miyachid Lamokim, not to move it around at all, so then it's not called the Kli. Just like you have it in the Machzik Memsor. Kli Tabob Amida Machzik Memsor is not called the Kli, it's called the Binyan, it's not called the Kli. It's not called the Kli, then it's going to be Muktzah. Similarly over here, if you have a Kli, which is Malach Tali Yisr, and it's a precision instrument, and it's expensive, and the guy's Makbid, Machmas Chisarin, because it shouldn't get broken, so he's Miyachal Amok, wants to leave it in one spot, not to be moved around, not to be tossed around on Shabbos, and since it doesn't have any tiltal, so maybe that cancels the shame kli. Maybe that's the reason why it's not called the kli. So that's the big machlokes of Hashem. How do you read that gemara? Daf kuf chav gimel. Okay. We didn't really chaz of everything, but chaz of the highlights. Okay. Tomorrow morning is the bechina. What time is the bechina supposed to be? I forgot already. 9:30 probably. Whatever it says on the signs. Okay. And then when shiurim resume in another week or two or three, whenever it is, I assume that we're going to continue to learn to the end of the parish. if people want to learn something other than the end of the parak, they want to decide what you're going to learn after we finish the parak. So maybe take a poll and let me know. Okay.